shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie, I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. This week we're going to be talking about the movie probably all of your geeky friends are talking about, Bright, the Netflix original, the big budget Netflix original. I think it has a budget of like 90 plus million.
Yeah, the number I saw was 90 million.
90 million for a Netflix original. Also seems insane. I think they need to check some receipts because this did not look like a 90 million. I mean, to get to 90 million, they must have paid Will Smith $40 million or something. Yeah, like dude. That didn't seem to add up to me.
It's a lot of makeup and special effects too.
Yeah, but like the cast is like, I mean, Joel Edgerton. Well, the fact that I just mispronounced his last name means he can't be that expensive. I mean, Noomi Rapace can't be that expensive. I was just like, I would love to see how they got to 90. Mm-hmm. The locations.
There were a few people that looked like, they wanted this person. They got someone that looked like them.
Yeah, there's a little of that. I'm not bashing this movie. It doesn't look cheap. It just didn't look like, I was like, oh.
It looks like 90.
Yeah. If you had said to me this was a $60 million movie, I would have been like, yeah, okay. Looks like a $60 million movie. Anyway, off the rails. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week, as always, by Cody Wolf.
How are your holes today, Alex?
the worst attempt at humor in this movie.
Of many bad attempts.
Jack Estabrook.
Unfortunately, I'm not properly blooded, so I'm not worthy of making a joke at this time.
Beautiful. Christy Smarl.
I'm going to go for the horribly controversial Fairy Lives Don't Matter today.
Ooh, yeah.
Too soon.
Yeah.
Too soon. And too soon to have it in the very beginning of the movie.
And I felt like, am I the only one who felt like Will Smith didn't even want to deliver it as a joke? Like, it almost felt like Will Smith kind of threw the line away. Like,
yeah.
He was like, I guess I have to say this, but I'm not going to.
I can't believe that made it into the script in the first place.
Well, yeah.
From what I've heard, it wasn't originally in the script, but when it comes to the script, you'll probably hear me say on recording the harshest thing I've ever been recorded saying.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, and Nick Neward is here. Yeah.
Stay tuned.
I have a lot to say about this script, and I just, to chime in at the beginning, like, this is a weird movie. We were kind of talking before we went on mic. This is not the worst movie we've ever done, nope. But this, I am with Nick in that the script was a mess.
Well, first, it was a lot better than I was expecting.
Oh, hell yeah.
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 Hell yeah.
But speaking of the script, I'm just going to get the really harsh thing out of the way now, because I've been waiting. I've tweeted this more than once or twice before, but the script was written by Max Landis, yeah. Vic Morrow's least favorite Landis.
Yeah.
Cody got that joke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Look up Vic Morrow, kids.
Yeah.
And I still stand that Max Landis would be his least favorite.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, Max Landis on the short list of pretty much like the worst people in the world. If you type Max Landis into Twitter, you will get a blast of a horrible person he is. In fact, seeing that he was, although I was looking into this a little bit too, he is credited as the screenwriter on this, although I'm not sure this is all him, because this felt like it was heavily reworked by both David Ayer and Will Smith, because their stuff in it. I'm actually really hopeful because there's a scene I liked in this movie, and I'm hoping it is not written by Max Landis, because I'm going to feel bad about myself for a long time if that's who it came from.
Well, the one thing I know about Max Landis is that he likes to complain that other people change his scripts, especially when it sucks. Then he's...
Right. Oh.
See, if this movie was done right, it would have been his Star Wars.
Right.
Yeah.
He did say that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, his Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yep.
So like grief. I think everyone kind of knows, when I say everyone, I think probably anybody who's listening to a podcast knows the premise of Bright at this point. It is a buddy cop movie where one of the buddies is a
dinosaur.
Orc. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yes.
I think you're thinking Mario Party.
I could not it's stop like, thinking of Peter Rex.
Yeah, a little bit.
This is, in many ways, a gritty take on Theodore Rex with all of the same...
I would have loved just in the background if Whoopi Goldberg and a dinosaur like walked by the precinct or whatever.
I wish this movie had the guts to do that. That would have actually been pretty great. And it's like Los Angeles is reimagined with mythical creatures live among us. There's elves, which are rich people, orcs. There are fairies are mentioned, although we only ever see one.
They're like just the pests.
They're pests, yeah. I guess. They're and
like
we
bats or something.
Well, it's supposed to be kind of like a Lord of the Rings world, like after like technology was invented kind of thing.
Yeah, but here's let me jump right in on how I felt the script was very lazy, because that's what I think that's what they were like trying to put out there, but that's not really what you get. It's just kind of like no, it's just the LA you know, but there's orcs and fairies and elves in it.
Yeah, and did anybody else catch that there was a dragon too?
Yeah, in the sky, yeah.
Yeah, there was a dragon flying over LA in one of the wide shots. So apparently there are lots and lots of mythical creatures, but we only see two and then one.
Seem to have made nothing is different. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, life is exactly the same, except there's dragons and gods.
I can't imagine that it would be 100% the same.
Which made it bizarre how gritty it was for Will Smith to keep yelling out about magic wands. That just made it bizarre.
Yes. A little bit of a... Yeah. I was wondering why they didn't just call it a different city. Like, just make up a city name instead of making it L.A.
Or just work harder to show, like, here are the weird impacts that all of these mythical creatures had on our
world. Maybe it's modern architecture, but it looks reminiscent of castles or something. You know, anything to be kind of like...
Well, also, I think this movie could have just used a little more exposition.
I was going to say some backstory.
I mean, you get all the exposition from graffiti during the opening credits, and that's about it. Yeah. I want to know what in the world happened 2,000 years ago. What did the Dark Lord do? How did everything come about the way it is now? It just, they talk about the Dark Lord throughout the whole movie, but you know nothing.
That was the prequel Max Landis had planned out. It's supposed to be a Star Wars.
This is episode four.
I think you're right. I think he was like, oh yeah, we're just going to throw people in. But I felt that way too. I was like, whoa, especially with some of the orc stuff. I was like, I need more. I don't.
It felt like there was like a book or a comic book that you should have read before seeing this movie.
Well, it's a little bit of a Warcraft ripoff here, where the orcs in Warcraft were an attempt to make the orcs not the generic goons of the dark sorcerer in your fantasy story. The orcs made a blood pact with an evil sorcerer, but now once that sorcerer is defeated, they're left and everyone hates them, but they actually start to build their own unique culture, and they are inherently good people. They were just manipulated. And now they're trying to make their way in the world, and everyone's like, these orcs are evil, so they're constantly being attacked. So I kind of saw that. Like, the orcs aren't so bad, but they're being forced to live like this because everybody hates them, because 2,000 years ago there was some blood pact with one orc clan, with this Dark Lord, now all orcs are evil, which I thought was kind of cool, but it was... totally not.
But let me
counter
that.
Off.
In this movie, we only meet one orc who's not evil.
They don't do anything.
We never see anything else.
Aside from there was like one mom with a baby orc or something like that. But that's really all they do to try to show you that orcs aren't evil.
Right.
You know, aside from Joel Edgerton, like you don't see any that aren't toting guns. Yeah.
Aside from the orc gang leader. I mean, they don't spend any time characterizing any of the orcs.
That's
so I wouldn't even say the others are evil. They're just background.
They just are.
They don't doubt. And it's the same with elves. We get really
one good
like,
elf.
And, well, you get the sense that maybe there's also a racial intolerance message. Where it's like the white, that's not just a sense, it's right there.
It must have been far too subtle.
They weren't pulling it off though, right? No. So you have the elves of the upper class, rich guys, and they're the white elves living in suburbia, and then you've got the orcs living in gangs. But that's literally only seen in the beginning of the movie, right? Like, oh, here's Elf Town, and it's really nice. And here's this crummy area where the elves. where the orcs live, and you got the one orc is like the you know, trying to integrate the police force. But apart from that, they really don't go into it.
No,
it's like in the beginning, it's like an original Star Trek episode where it's like a kindergartner could see it. Right. But then after that, they ignore it. And it doesn't factor into the plot whatsoever, because it becomes this, let's save the universe from a Dark Lord that we never see, from this bad guy who are not exactly sure what our motivations are, and let's chase this wand down. And
can I say, too, I noted it in my note. It was so fascinating to me. We find out what the main villain's objective is at an hour 28 into the movie. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's really something.
Mm-hmm. And how many... I feel like I should have counted how many lines Noomi Rapace actually says.
Oh, yeah.
She barely speaks.
Yeah. She basically doesn't speak until an hour 25 into the movie. I mean, yeah. And I like Noomi Rapace as an actress a lot. And there was a part of me that's like, why did they even cast her? You could have had anyone. You could have cast, you know, me. Like, it really didn't matter who played this part. This is where, like, for all the stuff where I may... that's like is done well, like that's for me, I couldn't clear that hurdle of what a mess this world is that mm-hmm. they were trying to build, and that they there's good things in this sort of, but
I think that's what really gets me about this movie is that it has so much potential. The idea is kind of cool. When I first saw the trailer, I thought, I want to see that looks like it could be a really fun movie. I like the concept. But they just don't do enough to actually build that world and flesh it out.
Right, right. They just kind of assume like, oh yeah, everyone's on board. And I'm like, I think I'm possibly even predispositioned to this, but no, I need a something. I need you to give me some grounding in this world. Or make this world seem different from just like, yeah, it's LA, but with elves and orcs in mm-hmm. it. Okay. Well, let's start off. We meet... Police officer Will Smith, who lives kind of in like one of the outer neighborhoods of LA a little bit. We watch him mercilessly beat a fairy to death, which was just uncomfortable.
Very uncomfortable.
Very
uncomfortable. Because he's getting in the bird feeder.
Yeah, this was weird. But and he and his wife have a conversation. He is basically Whoopi Goldberg and Theodore Rex. Yeah. There's one orc in the LAPD, and it's his partner.
Well, we should say. Oh, that was weird. We should say, before this scene, we see him.
Oh, right.
His partner, the orc, is like buying a burrito, and he's kind of waiting in his car. And another orc comes out of something like a convenience store or something with a gun, and shoots him.
Right.
And so then he wakes up, and this is like, I'm like, it's going weird. He wakes up and it's however many months later, whatever, and it's his first day. He's gonna go back.
His first day back.
Yeah, after being shot.
And let me just comment on this too. I kept kind of thinking that was gonna come back into the movie, that this orc who just came out of nowhere to shoot Will Smith at almost point blank range, and I'm like, well, that's gonna be some kind of plot point. Nope,
that orc never comes back.
That specific orc never comes back. We're never given an idea of why that orc thought it was a good idea to just like, sneak up and blast Will Smith in the chest. Like it's just like, yep, this is just what happens, I guess. And
got to save something for the sequel.
I guess
it's going to be in. That's going to be in O'Clock, a Bright movie.
Yeah. Oh God. So his orc partner comes to pick him up because his orc partner apparently feels bad that he wasn't protecting his partner, wasn't able to catch the orc who shot Will Smith. So by the way, you don't really find out any of this now. Like this is all it's like all stuff you learn on. Later on.
Right. But I kind of want to know. So everybody at the force, like, rags on Will Smith for having an orc partner, all that. But Will Smith has been off the job for quite a while. Who has been the orc's partner in the meantime?
I don't know. And why does everyone hate Will Smith, too?
Yeah, Will Smith. Like, they seriously seem to hate Will Smith because he has an orc partner.
Yeah, his superior even says at one point, like, nobody wants to ride with you.
Yeah, nobody. And I'm like, why? Why do they have a problem?
I think maybe because I wonder if he was orc sympathetic And now he's, and now everybody hates him. So he's like, "Look, man, I have to ride with you." Now everyone hates me, kind of thing.
Yeah, but there's it wasn't properly, to indicate that.
Yeah, I guess there's no evidence to support that argument.
I think this script underwent a Will Smith rewrite, where I bet at one point the Will Smith character actually was a bad cop. Because they also keep referencing that he has financial problems, but then I'm like,
but it never comes back.
Yeah, it never comes back. And I'm like, Will Smith has a good job as a cop. His wife seems to be a successful medical person, like doing something. Nurse? I don't know. I wasn't really sure, but like, they both seem to be doing fine. I'm like, why do they have financial problems, and why does everyone, it's alleged everyone hates him? Because I'm like, neither of these things really exist in the character we're getting. Mm-hmm. But I'm wondering if that's like weird remnants of
it. Oh, yeah, he says, "You don't want to be my friend," when the orc is like, "Hey, you want to be friends?" He's like,
"Yeah." And I'm like, "Why not? You seem fine." Like, I don't, you know, like, seem fine to me. I don't know. So I wonder if he really was like a bad cop in an earlier version. And I don't know if that would have made the movie make any more sense, but it would have explained some of the weird lines of dialogue that
might have also explained why he had absolutely no problem killing four cops.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah. That he was down with that. Yeah. I was also curious, in this, I kept thinking the movie was going to address it meaningfully in a flashback, and it never does. How did the orc become a cop? Did they ever go into that?
He just said, I mean, he said it was his dream his whole life.
But if he was the first orc to become a cop, I feel like that must have been a pretty big deal. Though the movie just...
I'm just assuming that the mayor was doing it as a publicity stunt.
Yeah, I mean...
We need to integrate the force. There was maybe there was... I'm legit. If they wanted to go with this blatantly obvious racial allegory, what if there were a number of police incidents involving orcs where they were, like, getting unfairly treated or getting, like excessive force cases against them, and the mayor or the police chief was like, you know what? Let's get an orc on the police force. Let's show some faith, make a good faith gesture to the orc community in our city. In a movie that starts out with that, hey guys, it's a racial tolerance message, and then forgets it when it turns into an action movie, why not just maintain that and make it part of the story if they start that way? Why not?
Well, they do show police beating an orc.
Yes.
And then they get called away to a white guy with a sword and they don't even touch him.
Yeah.
So I think they're probably kind of doing it. Police incidents, yeah. But you have to assume a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
I mean, say what you will about Theodore Rex. At least in Theodore Rex, they do explain how a dinosaur became you get the first dinosaur police officer. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's just the whole, you have to add to these assumptions. So like, as Christy was saying, it then just kind of turns into, as we were saying before we went on, end of watch, where Will Smith and Jacoby, who's the orc character, the orc cop's name, are driving around, and they get called to where this crazy looking white dude is swinging a sword around an intersection, and Jay Hernandez is also there as a LA County Sheriff's deputy. Yeah. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, so we then do get some exposition dumped on us, exposition that largely is pointless later on in the movie, but at least they do give us some exposition. How did this work? So they end up arresting the guy with the sword, right?
There's a little bit of like Jay Hernandez is, and Will Smith are clearly friends. So there's one guy that likes Will Smith, but he's not an LA cop. He's a sheriff's deputy instead.
Yeah.
And they talk a little bit about like jurisdiction, and Jay Hernandez is happy to hand it over to them or something like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Will Smith kind of goes up to the guy and talks him out of whatever he was going to do.
I got the sense
that he wanted to, they didn't really follow through on this a bit, that he's part of this group. I think he wanted to be arrested to tell our two heroes that they're important in stopping the Dark Lord, but to them it sounds like he's a nut.
But because then the guy starts talking to the orc.
Like he wanted to get arrested. Guy, and he was hoping somehow that the orc would be the one to get called to arrest him, maybe? I don't know. That's taking a big gamble.
Yeah, because he starts talking to the orc and he just like blurts out to the orc, like, oh, you're part of a prophecy and Will Smith is blessed.
Yeah.
And I'm listening to this, I'm like, why? why is this in here? I'm like, again, movies aren't documentaries. Yeah. Like, they're written. Like, what is the point of this scene other than to basically say to the audience... Because they also, somewhere in here, it started hinting that not everyone is a magic user. And at this point, I'm just literally like, oh, okay, so Will Smith is going to be a magic user.
Clearly.
Yeah.
And something crazy is going to happen with this orc. But I'm like, why are you literally just telling... I mean, this is like the worst example of, like, you know, show, don't tell. And you're just like, nope, just tell. Don't show. Just tell. And I'm like, all right. That's fine. And so they get back to the police station, and two of, like, guys who seem to be parodies of, like, police movie internal affairs agents come up to Will Smith.
Yeah, like, what? Like, they were just like, they want to plant a recorder on him and get him to, like, admit, get the orc officer, Jacoby, to admit that he did something wrong, that he let the suspect that shot at Will Smith get away.
Yeah,
and that'll solve everyone's problems by getting this guy thrown off the force legally, because we don't want an orc on the force.
And they threaten Will Smith that if he doesn't go along with this, they're gonna fire him. But I'm like,
where his financial problems come in. Because they're talking about how, you know, they know he wants to sell his house and he needs money, and using that to.
But, like, I was trying to figure out, I'm like, what are they threatening? Like, what are they? Are they gonna, like, invent? They want to fire the orc. They want some way to fire the orcs, and they're going to, like, fake charges against Will Smith to fire him if he won't go along with helping them.
Yeah. Like, this could have gone into him being a dirty cop. You could have had, like, maybe he did something that was somewhat immoral, like, in his past.
I think that's what they're
going to pressure him with. But it's, yeah, I don't know.
I think that's what it was, and I think maybe Will Smith was like, I don't want to play a dirty cop. And they were like, well, okay, the whole script is referencing you as a dirty cop. Hold on. All right, give us 10 minutes, you know. And there's also, I do have to say, I kind of liked Will Smith in this, and he's just sort of playing Will Smith. Like, you're not getting, I mean, this is not a huge departure for Will Smith in any way, but it was like, oh, okay, this is the Will Smith that everybody likes and who's extremely charismatic, and your attention is just sort of drawn to Will Smith when he's on the screen, because he just has that kind of, like, movie star thing going for him. And
I was thinking, for most of the cast, honestly, I was impressed that nobody really seemed to be phoning it in.
Yeah. Yeah,
they all actually seem to be trying.
Yeah, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah. What they had, they were succeeding. Yeah. I thought.
Well, they are doing the best with what they are given to work with, I would say that for the whole movie. From the like the cinematography is really good. I think the editing is really good. Like, everyone is doing the best they can with a script that is flawed at best and highly problematic.
The parts are greater than the song.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a great idea.
It's not,
or it could be a great idea, but it's a poorly written idea.
It's a poorly executed script. And I would even say, even more than just the script stage, even, like, the plot beats, like, if you were essentially doing it's a little inside baseball, but even the treatment would have been very flawed. Like, even a 5-page treatment of this story, I think a lot of people could have identified, like, I think there's some issues here. Like, this doesn't seem to have, like, some of the connective tissue you need for what is not a terrible idea, but if you want to do that, you need to lay a little more groundwork for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or any groundwork for it. All right, so in addition to internal affairs, and by the way, when I have, like, internal affairs in my notes, I'm like, really? Like, this orc cop buddy cop movie has internal affairs in it? I'm like,
with a horrible mustache?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm like, okay. So Will Smith agrees to go along with this, and, I don't want to say it never comes back, but it doesn't.
But it kind of ends here. It's... Because he starts talking kind of very awkwardly in the car when they're going to some... Or they're not going to a call yet, but he's like, you know, my daughter, when she lies about something, she tells the when she tells the truth, she feels good. It makes her feel good, so it's good to clear the air and tell the truth about things.
Because we should mention, you're right, the internal affairs guys do say that his orc partner's story of losing the orc suspect who shot Will Smith doesn't really add up, and there's some things in it that don't make sense. Which somehow, for the first time, Will Smith is like, hey, wait a minute. It doesn't make... I'm like, how is this news to him that this makes no sense? Well,
there's a reason he's a patrol cop and not a detective, as evidenced by his inability to put together these things and his very poor interrogation skills.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, really, I think the whole point of the recording and all that is just to get Will Smith to talk to Jacoby about it.
Yeah.
Like, to get him to say something.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for the movie, not for... IA clearly wants, you know, the recording to... York, but the point in the movie is just so that they actually have a reason to talk about it. But it didn't have to be a recording. Somebody could have just told that to Will Smith, and Will Smith could have confronted Jacoby about it.
Right.
But I just expected, I guess, to be drawn out a bit more, to happen over more time, but it was like the next scene, this happens, and then they get a call. Like, in the middle of this discussion, they get a call to go to this, whatever the call was.
Well, it's a while before they actually have the discussion, because Jacoby.
I thought it was the next scene, wasn't it?
They start that whole like Will Smith awkwardly talking about it, but they don't actually get to what he thinks, because Jacoby thinks that Will Smith is trying to admit that he's been talking about Jacoby behind his back. So, but
I just mean the actual recording.
I totally thought that was going to be a callback, and at some point, tape recording was going to play cliche, but not a bad idea to be like, well, by the way, we overheard you saying this, and he clicks it and like gets one up on the bad guy at the end of the movie, and it just doesn't come back.
Because they could be like, yeah, Will Smith was like, well, I was wearing a wire, but I was wearing a wire for this other thing.
That is true. I didn't.
The recorder never came back. Like, I thought they were going to kill him anyway. And these two internal affairs guys, the mustaches, I don't think ever come back.
No,
because the next people we see are the feds, who kind of take up that role. But they're not really the bad guys. They were really the good guys all along.
You could argue the feds could not even be in this movie, and the movie would be essentially no different.
Yeah.
But then we wouldn't have the Donald Logue in 1996 Val Kilmer ripoffs. Honest to God, I kept on thinking, did they get Val Kilmer out of a time machine?
They got the time machine. They got Val Kilmer in this mofo. That's right. Yeah. We want Val Kilmer back, damn it. We'll put him in this movie.
So, yeah, because the feds are on a...
Well, they get the call. They get this call.
Yeah.
To... I can't remember what the call was, but they...
Like, just a disturbance.
Something like that. Yeah. And they show up to this scene, and immediately someone starts firing at them.
Right.
So they start firing back. And you get some awkward pseudo-comedy during the shootout, which is always...
Yeah.
All awkward. The comedy in this movie is awkward pseudo-comedy.
Yeah.
So they end up killing the guy who was shooting at them, and they enter the building, and they find all these bodies that are, like, burned up, but not burned up, but, like, magic burned up.
Correct. like essentially what I would call, like, God of War burned up.
Yeah.
You know,
They're, like, skeletons are glowing and all this stuff, and then they end up finding... There's like a woman in a wall, like half a woman.
That was a really strange way to take someone out. I mean, I get it's magic, but...
But she also wasn't fully dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was an elf.
Yeah.
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 But they realize, like, oh my God, it's magic. There's magic. Apparently magic's like this big thing that when you find magic, like, oh no, we have to call the feds.
Because at the same time, we don't deal with magic. The feds were intercutting where the feds are interviewing crazy bearded big sword guy.
Yeah.
And they're grilling him in a scene that I think might have been a reshoot or something, because it's just loaded with exposition.
Right.
Where they're like talking about what Cody's talking about, like... It's like they're grilling this guy on how magic works, and I want to be like, wait, this is your whole job. Why would you be talking about the basics of what your job is with a suspect?
That's basically to put out the idea of the brights and the magic wands, and apparently only brights can use magic wands.
Except, see, this is another thing that just killed me about this movie was they've got this whole thing about how only a bright can really use a magic wand. Mm-hmm. And, okay, so if you touch a wand and you're not a bright, you will blow up.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So you can touch a wand with a glove, and all of the dirty cops want the wand to get themselves money.
Mm-hmm.
But if they really can't use the wand, then what's the point? And then later on, we find out also that you need, like, specific spell words to make something happen with a wand. So... Why in the world are wands dangerous if you have to have training and know what to do to actually use them? I mean, okay, the picking them up and blowing up, that's dangerous. Right. But, you know, the dirty cops that want to get $1 million with this wand, like, how would they
What I was thinking on that was one of two things. Either A, they were going to sell the wand to someone who wanted it,
But they keep talking about how the wand can grant wishes.
Or B, they're willing to take the chance.
He just said 1 and B. I love it.
A and B. 2. Yes, it's 1 and B. That's how I count. How do you
Max
count?
Max Landis is writing this dialogue.
How do you count, Cody?
The
other thing is, I think there was this idea where they are willing to sacrifice their lives because no one knows that they're a bright until they've actually had the guts to touch the wand. And I think that they were all kind of like, so if one of us can, there's a statistical chance that one of us is a bright, we can make millions, or they were thinking about selling the wand. Like, I was kind of okay with that because it looked like some kind of like
a... But they were careful to use gloves and things like that. I don't think they were ever planning on actually touching it.
Maybe they were going to sell it. I don't know.
I wasn't clear on what the cop's plan was.
Yeah.
And I think it would have been better because when they're interviewing
Crazy... Maybe
they're
going to sell it to the feds.
I think they were talking... Well, I don't...
No, I don't think so.
When the feds are interviewing Crazy Bearded Sword Guy and the line comes out, they're like, oh, it's like... 1 in a million if you're a bright.
Humans.
For humans, it's like 1 in a million if you're a bright. And then if you touch it and you don't explode. And I literally have my notes. I'm like, well, okay, clearly Will Smith is bright based on what they've already dropped on us. And I'm like, why make it 1 in a million? Why not make it like, oh, you've only got like a 1 in 10 chance.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that would involve a little
Then I could see a group of four cops thinking maybe one of us could use it.
Yeah.
But at 1 in a million.
You're like, why? Who would take why would you take the chance? Yeah.
Now, what exactly is a bright?
Someone who can use magic.
Just in general, someone who can use magic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, because in this scene, so they find this woman in the wall, and then there's this other elf there. And the other elf, like, I can't remember what exactly, like, they have guns on her or something, and she pulls out a wand and uses magic and, like, blows them away or something.
Right.
Or, you know, like, keeps them away from her.
Yeah.
But then, okay, so at that point, I'm like, okay, so she's a bright because she's using a wand, she's using magic. Will Smith sees her do this, but then an hour later in the movie,
he finds
out she's a bright, and he's like, why didn't you tell me you're a bright? And I was like, I thought this whole time that was just...
I missed Will Smith actually seeing her do that.
I think he was right there when it, because, yeah, I think he was right there.
I thought so, too, because when they're shocked later on, I'm like, this movie seems,
because he's like, what is that? What is that?
No, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Because they're the two cops there. Just went off.
Yeah.
I was shocked that I'm like, okay, I don't know. I was like, it seemed like I knew she was a bright the whole time. It wasn't like a shot to me, at least.
I've
seen a movie before.
Yeah. And as long as you're talking about
maybe things, somebody's first movie, okay?
Yeah, someone's never seen this before. As long as we're talking about things that never get picked back up, the crazy bearded sword guy also tells the feds, he's like, the feds are like, you're part of that Shield of Light group.
Yeah.
And the crazy guy's like, no, I'm not. And then they talk about it in like the Shield of Light group is trying to do something.
Aren't they?
To stop someone.
I was confused about, so that place that they're in that they find the woman in the wall and the bright they don't know is a bright, that had like graffiti on the walls talking about the Shield of Light.
Yeah.
But it also, so there's the Shield of Light and there's the Inferni, and I thought they were like I thought the Shield, the Inferni are like the evil elves, which they made a point that the elf fed said those are the only evil elves. And I thought the Shield of Light was like fighting the Inferni, but then in that one base, there seemed to be both Inferni and Shield of Light in that base. Well, I was confused.
So what it was the woman in the wall was an Inferni.
Yeah.
That was trying to grab
the one that wound up teaming up with the whole time.
And so the other people were Shield of Light trying to stop her.
Yeah, so Shield killed them all. So Shield of Light is actually good.
Yes.
But they're sort of like they're a Shield of Light.
They couldn't name it any more basic. Yeah,
so wait, did the elf that they team up with kill all the people? Did she kill all the Shield of Light?
No, they showed it in a flashback.
In the flashback.
The woman in the wall.
Oh, Noomi Rapace killed all the
Shield of the one in the wall.
The one, oh, okay.
She comes in and she's like,
that's right. She's blessing them away. Noomi Rapace's assassin.
Yeah, she's blessing them all away, trying to get whatever. I can't remember the one elf's name. Was like,
I don't remember.
The one who...
Tika. Right,
yeah.
So she's trying to get Tika, but then Tika, like, she gets distracted or something, then Tika uses her wand, or she grabs her wand or something and uses it against her and blows her into the wall.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
and then the random dude starts shooting at the cops for why? If he's a member of the Shield of Light, does he just not trust that the police? Maybe the police or the feds trying to get the wand as well?
Well, everyone hates the police, Jack.
I guess so.
I get.
Well, that's the only thing that's
probably a little jumpy at that point.
Why is he
he's got a bit of a knife?
Maybe it makes sense. Maybe he thinks that they're just going after the wand as well.
Okay. But here's my Shield of Light question. If the Shield of Light are good guys, which I think Nick's right, I think they're, again, their name is Shield of Light, why is the crazy bearded guy denying he's a part of this group to the feds? Why is crazy bearded guy not telling that to the orc? Like, and Will Smith, and also, why do they never come back in the movie? Like, there's never another reference to this group.
Yeah, I don't know.
My honest answer is, when they were grading this, they're like, this franchise. This has got to be a franchise. And that's my honest to God answer. I think that's what it is.
You're right. I think the next movie will be
Will Smith, you know, joining up with the Shield of Light.
Yeah.
I got the sense that, like, the Shield of Light was like a clandestine, like, organization or something that.
So clandestine, that we never see them again.
We know more about the gangster organizations than we do about the Shield of Light. And they're not that important to the plot.
Like, they're a shadow. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They do kind of disappear, though, right here, so.
They do well. So now they've Will Smith and they find. So they've got they capture this elf Tika, and then they call the cops and they're like, "Hey, we got a ton of magic stuff. We need help down here." And so all the cops we'd already seen in the movie come in. By the way, I was at one point my brain sort of like I had like a psychic break. So I'm like. I feel like I saw a movie where Ike Barinholtz was a jerk cop. Wait, I think I saw a movie where Ike Barinholtz was a jerk cop too. Well, wait a second. This is all from Suicide Squad. So all the jerk cops come and they just, like, with no pause, just tell Will Smith, okay, you need to go kill your orc partner. And we're going to take this magic wand and we're all corrupt. And
so how's it going to use the wand?
Yeah, you're with us or you're against us. And
yeah, I'm still confused as to what they were.
This happened really fast too.
Yeah, well, it's just all of a sudden they established that these cops are assholes, that they don't like Will Smith for some reason, and part of it is because of the orc, and now they've got a wand they think they can make money with, so they're gonna be like, look, are you a human or are you an orc?
Well, at one point I just wasn't sure, because at one point I thought they're gonna use the wand to try to do something to the orc or Frank, because they put it in his bag, like the bag they put it in says Jacobian. So I was like, are they trying to frame him somehow, or make him touch the wand on accident and blow up? I think maybe they're trying to make it look like
he found the wand and then attacked them, and then they killed him, and then they're gonna sell the wand.
Right. That's why I wasn't sure where they're, because they never
sell realized, it. They wouldn't be able to sell it.
Maybe this is one of those things that would have made a lot more sense if Will Smith was a dirty cop.
Yes.
Because then, you know, for them to admit that they're corrupt too, like maybe if they just expected Will Smith to join them,
right?
Because he's a dirty cop too, and this is his redemption moment that he's decided, no, he's gonna pick his partner over being a dirty cop.
Right.
That would have made a lot more sense.
Yes, 100%. Because then the scene that happens outside where Will Smith talks to Jacoby, and it's like, is Will Smith going to kill Jacoby or not? It's like, well, no, the Will Smith we've seen actually seems like a pretty decent dude. He's not going to just murder his partner. And it would have given this scene some dramatic weight if Will Smith was a bad cop.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he ends up shooting the four bad cops.
Well, first he confronts... And I don't know what he's doing here either. He confronts Jacoby.
In a better script, this would be the scene where we, the audience, think he's going to kill him.
Right.
In a better script.
That's what I wasn't sure, because he was clear he wasn't going to kill him. And then all of a sudden he pulls his gun on him. He's like, tell me about that day. I didn't know if he's... I don't know.
In a better script,
if he were a bad cop, this would be the moment where the audience is led to believe that maybe Will Smith is going to kill Jacoby.
Yeah.
He decides not to, and he sides with him.
This is a super lumpy point in a script that is a bad mix. It could be a lot better. Yeah.
Because he's holding a gun on Jacoby, and he's like, he's yelling, he's calling him a liar or whatever. He's trying to get him to tell him the truth about that day that he got shot.
Right.
But for him, it's more personal.
Right. That's when the other cops come out, and they're like, it's time, Ward, shoot him or whatever. And then he's like, he asks, because I kind of thought they were going with it, but they don't. He asked Jacoby, like, okay, where are they standing? How many are there? Whatever. So he knows when he turns around to shoot them where they are. And so he turns around and shoots them all.
Yeah.
And
then a gang shows up that is aware that something's going on. They think there's a mess. Somehow this gang infers.
They overheard that there's a wand, or they know there's a wand in my hood and we're going to take it.
Something. Yeah, now, somehow
again,
they know.
How do they know that they can touch the wand?
Yeah.
I don't know, but.
Yeah, so they're kind of. And now this movie just kind of turns into, like, end of watch, or it's just like, okay, Will Smith and Tika and Jacoby are just on the run with a magic wand through the streets of LA.
Everybody, cops and criminals are all hunting them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cops, it's the feds, it's the
gang,
the Mexican gang, it's the orc gang.
It's the orcs. That sounds, that description of it sounds more compelling than the pacing of what we actually get.
Yeah.
Which is just kind of like going from set piece to set piece.
Yeah, because it's almost comical because they'll have like a big chase scene with, you know, against the gang, and then they get out of that and they turn around and all of a sudden the orc gang's there and it's like, oh, now we gotta fight them, and they get out of that fight scene and they turn around and it's like the feds or whatever, you know what I mean?
And
it's
all just the one time, after the
other. They could have done something clever and got the two gangs to fight each other or something.
I kept thinking we were gonna get that, which we don't. Point you kind of get it with SWAT, and the SWAT goes up against the evil elves at one point, but not really. And they also just keep making the stupidest decisions possible, like, hey, why don't we walk into an orc rave dance club? Like, why?
They're in disguise, but they're not great disguises because they're made in like 30 seconds. But here's something I really wanted to get. Because they're showing that Jacoby is like a true cop, like he's a good guy. Even though Will Smith saved his life and killed these dirty cops, he calls for backup. Anyway, we have officers down. He doesn't necessarily say how it happened, but he does.
Right.
Then they get confronted by the gang. Stuff turns south. They jump in the car. They go on this epic car chase. This following, right? Now our bad guy Matrix elves show up.
Right.
At the same location looking for the wand. And they're like, looking over the dead cops, right? And she kills one of them because he's only dying, right? And I'm thinking to myself, and all the time that has passed, 911 and police backup hasn't gotten to that scene yet. And I know that's a very small thing to complain about, but I was thinking that. I was like, wait a minute, like 20 minutes has passed and now the bad guy like walks up and is like looking down on the four dead cops and they're looking around the room like, she's not here, the girl isn't here, and the one cop's kind of coughing, kind of stereotypically, no, leave me alive, and she just like sneers at him and kills him anyway. And where is the backup? Where are the cops that Jacoby called on the radio?
I kind of took that as one of those things when they don't say meanwhile. Really, this happened like
simultaneously.
Like right after.
Simultaneously.
Yeah, like right after Will Smith and Jacoby left, that's when the evil elf showed up.
I just felt that too much time had passed.
Yeah.
Too much time had passed at that point for that to be a thing. It's a stupid thing to complain about. It really is. But it is something that I admit it. There's a lot of stupid things to complain about. This is a movie that could have been so much better with just minor tweaking. A line of dialogue here, a little bit of exposition there, right?
Yeah.
Some stuff shaved off another scene. I mean, it could have been so much better than it was.
Well, and we also, like, it approaches video game level where gang members are just, like, what's the term in video games for, like, basically, like, just the cannon fodder villains that you just, like, mow your way through? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's basically what gang members are.
They're like the Goombas in Mario.
Yeah, basically. Like, they just get blown away constantly by Will Smith and Jacoby. Just, like, they're there to be shot. They all seem to pop up, like, Hogan's Alley style, like, just waiting for a bullet to go into them. And it's just, like, a lot of just, I don't even, like, this middle section of the movie is, it's almost, like, boring. It felt, the middle felt section long. Of I mean, this movie
a,
felt
there's a lot of decent action stuff in it, but it went
but with no
too
stakes.
Long.
Yeah. Or, like, yeah, it felt like just, like, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, the movie is two hours long. You could have cut here a bunch and made it an hour 40 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you do get, actually, a scene where we kind of get what Jack was talking about, where the human gang ends up pinning them down to the point where they're even thinking about turning the wand over to them.
Right.
And then the evil elves come in and kill the whole human gang, in the process allowing Will Smith and Jacoby to escape.
Yes. And it kind of begs the question, why did you need that gang in there?
I don't think you needed them at all.
You really could have just had an orc gang.
Yeah.
Just one gang. I mean,
and but then there's not multiple gangs.
It's true. You need
because it's LA. You need those gangs.
I also would have liked to know, like, because we do, and maybe I'm jumping too far ahead. There is, by the way, one really funny line that Will Smith delivers. And again, God, if Max Landis wrote this, I'm just going to feel terrible. But when Will Smith says, "We're going to titty bar gunfight die,"
I did like that part.
He's like, what? Screw it. Fine.
That line reeks of Will Smith, though. That's definitely a Will Smith.
Because Will Smith delivered it in a Will Smith style, in a Will Smith role, it works.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that. But I also would have liked to have known more about the orc gang, because I think
this ties more into the Jacoby storyline about how he's not accepted by his own kind.
Yeah.
Well, and his own kind turns to crime because they're not accepted by society.
Yeah.
If the movie were smarter, they could have done that.
They talk all the time about orc clans and how orc clans are more important than anything else to the orcs. But we only ever see one clan. Yep. And they never really get... I mean, they just talk about how clans are important, but we don't actually see any kind of society or rival clans or anything. I mean, it's just this one clan.
One clan, one scene.
Yeah.
I mean, like, you're really... Yeah, you're left to assume a lot of what... And there's, like, also seems to be... Well, I guess we're jumping forward to that, but, like... There seems to be a lot going on in that scene of, like, there's an orc in, like, weird, like, ceremonial robes.
There's some sort of ritual going on.
They took somebody out of the Wicker Man set.
Yeah.
They took someone off the Wicker Man set, too, in one scene. Did you catch that? Are we at that scene yet? Someone with, like, a bear mask?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
It's like, what, did somebody step off the Wicker Man set?
What's going on? What is that guy's role in this?
You know, if we're at this scene, I just realized we did miss the part where...
There's some stuff in between.
We can back it up. I realized something I missed too.
Admits that he did let the guy go that he was chasing, because he realized he was chasing the wrong orc after Will Smith was shot. He chases after a guy, loses him in the crowd, finds a kid orc in an alley that was just like, spray painting, and lets him go because he figured cops would come in and kill him, thinking he was the same orc.
Right.
And it's funny because watching this movie, I was getting a Training Day vibe.
Yeah, yeah.
And the scene that Christy is leading up to is straight out of Training Day.
Yeah, this movie takes like a weird detour into Training Day and then kind of like pulls back out of Training Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, there's some stuff that happens before this. There's a whole scene. Like, they end up calling, I can't remember what the...
Jay Hernandez. Oh,
that's
they end up calling
Jay Hernandez.
It's a really weird, crazy scene where they're shouting all this secret information. We have a magic wand.
And they're screaming it. And then they go on the phone and I'd better call the bad guys and tell them that you got this wand. Well, all right, fine. Give me the phone. Yeah, we got a wand. And I'm like, what's going on here? They don't know who to trust.
Yeah.
Like, they wouldn't talk to this guy.
Well, because he's on the... Okay, so they call Jay Hernandez. He comes, and he's like... He pulls his gun on him, and he's like, because he shot four cops.
Yep.
Right.
And he's like, no, you don't understand. You know, he spills the whole thing, and he's like, let me see the wand. He shows the wand. He's like, oh, there's the wand. He's like, let me call, the cops or the feds or whoever.
I think he calls the feds.
Yeah. So Will Smith is on the phone with the feds saying, like, hey, if I had a wand, would you be able to, get me out of this killing four cops thing. And they're like, yeah, we could do that. And at the same time, I think the elves are listening over the phone line.
They also have abduction level technology. Yeah.
So then they know where they are. So then they come and they kill Jay Hernandez. And
well, let's talk about a totally ridiculous and meaningless thing that happens. Jay Hernandez is like, well, this whole scene, it's pointless. It goes nowhere. Yeah. It goes nowhere. And he's like, all right, I got to cuff the two of you because... If I don't cuff you, you're going to get murdered. So he cuffs Will Smith and Jacoby. And I'm like, oh, all right. Well, that's sort of a twist they've factored into this. And then Jay Hernandez is killed by a sniper from somewhere. I don't know. And I'm like, ooh, all right. So they've actually put an interesting obstacle in place. They're in cuffs. Nope. The elf lady has the keys.
Yeah.
They are out of the cuffs instant later. Yeah. I'm like, okay, so nope, there was no point to that.
And then there's somehow a car chase scene in a convenience store that lasts for about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Bashing everything with the car inside the convenience store. I literally zoned out at this point.
I was going to say, I think I zoned out here too, because this is like the third or so, like, not this one's not a gunfight, but like, the gunfight situations that they get into. And this is where it's way too long and not necessary.
Yeah, because also when I snap back when it's like, oh, they're walking away from the convenience store and it's like blowing up. I'm like, oh, I guess they got out of that because I wasn't paying attention. So somehow I got out of that. And then they get, is this where they get kidnapped by the orcs?
This is where they get grabbed off the street by the orcs and they get brought to the orc mafia.
Right, the Temple of Doom.
Temple of Doom.
Yes.
Wicker Man scenario.
Yes.
Bottomless pit.
Yeah.
Yep.
So they, the main, or the I don't know, orc gang leader or whatever is, giving this whole thing about why he hates Jacoby and all this stuff. And he's mad at them because they came and shot up his party that he throws every month or whatever.
Right. And like Christy was saying, like, we're getting this... Like, this might have helped if this was delivered in a in a show don't tell way.
Yeah.
Way earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Like way earlier.
Yeah, because he is talking here about the Dark Lord and how the orcs chose the evil side back then. I don't know. This whole background thing that, yeah, it could have been brought in earlier. And
then they almost are kind of teasing the idea of, like, maybe this dude's not so bad. He's just, like, orcs have had a really tough go, and they've had to form this, like, organized crime situation to survive. But then you're like, nope, this guy's just an a-hole. Like, you know.
Because and as he's giving this whole speech about, you know, all this and why he's going to kill Jacoby, there's a shot of an orc, and he's, like, looking like maybe he's not buying into it.
Yeah.
And then a few minutes later, he's like, I'm going to let my son kill you. And it's that orc. And he comes over with his gun. He's pointing it at Jacoby. Oh, they opened like a pit in the floor. That's why I say it's
getting pretty elaborate.
Yeah.
So they open this pit in the floor.
Overly elaborate death.
Yeah. And he's like, okay, they like have him kneeling at the edge of the pit. And he's got his son pointing the gun. And the son's about to shoot him. And then he's like, oh, I can't do it. And he says, this orc saved my life. He let me escape so the cops wouldn't kill me, and so it's the kid that he let go in the alley.
However, doesn't mean a thing, because the dad orc then says, "Okay, you don't have to do it," and then he shoots him anyway.
Right?
Yeah, like, it's meaningless. Yep. Why call that back?
Yeah.
Yep. Why?
Yeah. It's almost a Training Day thing where they're like, "Okay, we won't kill you because you saved my niece or whatever it was in that movie."
Yeah.
But it's just like, okay, I'm gonna kill you then.
Yeah.
And so he shoots Jacoby and he falls into the pit.
But right.
And that's. Right. That's when... Is this where she pulls the wand out of somewhere?
Yes. This is where Tika... I keep calling her Tila. I feel like that's a He-Man character.
It is.
Am I right in that? Uh-huh. Okay.
Are we boring you, Jack?
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
Tika pulls the wand out, who, by the way, has been a hilarious cutaway for the past 20 minutes of this movie, where when they get into an editing jam, you can just tell it's like... Oh yeah, cut to a one shot of Tika, which they do in many times just in order to like move a shot sequence forward.
Right.
Yeah.
They just like they cut to her like playing with like things in the convenience store or like, just like looking out a window.
Looking at
or,
a bizarre stripper in wonder, like, ooh, what's that? And it cuts to like a skanky stripper.
No one ever talks to her. Right. No one at no point do either Will Smith or the Jacoby characters really talk to her. So
Jacoby
she's just
talks
there.
To her somewhat. But Will Smith doesn't understand her because she doesn't speak English.
Right.
Or he thinks.
He thinks. Just assumes that.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a terrible shoot this must have been for the actress who had to play Tika. I mean, like, she's just there. Not like, can you imagine if that's what your instructions are like? All right, we're just going to have you kind of like play with this curtain rod because we might need a cutaway of it at one point.
I was kind of thinking like Fifth Element with...
There's a lot of Fifth Element here.
Like that character who...
Yeah.
Doesn't speak English, and then you find out later she does, but...
Right.
It's just kind of like the...
You find out actually that the other characters are just real lazy, you know?
They never asked her if she spoke English.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use that joke twice, you know? Like, all of a sudden they speak English.
Yeah. But the orcs always spoke English. Like, all the orcs in the movie speak English.
But Will Smith assumes they don't.
Those ones don't. I don't know.
All right, so Tika pulls out a wand...
Yeah.
...and casts... some kind of like spell,
mm-hmm.
and Jacoby, who had been shot point blank
in the heart and thrown into a bottomless pit,
comes back out of the pit alive.
Right,
and everyone freaks out.
I think that's why like the priest guy was there, the weird guy with the mask, because he's like, "Oh, it's the prophecy. He's risen or something like that. Like it's some."
And that's why they let him go. Yeah,
but it's kind of weird because none of the orcs are like, "Oh no, that elf lady just did that with that magic wand." Like they seem to. I don't know if they're in some sort of trance
or something because of the magic. Because when she's there's like a shockwave and they're all like, "Whoa!" Like I don't know if they were stunned
or maybe
or
they're scared of her, so they don't want to. Let's not mess with her friends now.
Right.
This is one of those things, and this is not. Not necessarily a critique of this movie. It happens in so many movies and TV shows that always annoys me. Something big happens. You know, he comes back to life and all the orcs are, oh my goodness, this is the prophecy, and they kneel. And then they cut to another scene where they're all gone and there's never any, like, they don't finish that scene.
Right.
I feel like this happens in so many movies and TV shows where there's, you know, they do that cliffhanger at the end of a scene and then in the next scene everybody's in another spot and you never get the rest of that conversation.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like it's a very lazy screenwriting thing to do in general, to chalk something up to a prophecy, because it's almost like just baking in, like, oh, we'll just have we don't have to really set this up and we don't have to deal with the consequences because it was a prophecy and everyone knew it was a prophecy. And it's just like, when you do that, it's just, and it felt very lazy here.
Yeah,
and you're right. It never even felt like that scene was done.
Yeah.
And it felt like they didn't have to end it because they could just be like, oh, it was a prophecy. Like,
well, I felt like there never was a prophecy. You know what I mean? Like, it's not actually a prophecy, but they're just kind of
well, that's, fooled
into they opened the movie with the quote that was the prophecy. Well,
they keep talking about prophecy, but I think it's just like a myth.
It's not really a prophecy-driven movie. Yeah.
But it's one of those things that I think there could have been way more exposition because Jacoby at one point brings up the orc hero of back in the day.
Right.
But we don't really know what he did besides unite the nine races, which, by the way, we've only seen three. Four, because there's that one fairy.
That's a save some for other movies.
Yeah, like, there was this big hero that did something cool, and we don't understand what it was.
I think it's going to be an Army of Darkness situation where Jacoby goes back in time and then saves it.
And I do feel like Jacoby this goes back to Nick's thing of, like, this was... This world is somehow not fleshed out and overly fleshed out. Like, at the same time,
it was fleshed out in somebody's notebook, but it wasn't included in the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And Hopefully it's fleshed out in somebody's notebook.
You talk about a broader universe. Even the first Star Wars movie was played safe in that you got enough of the universe to know that it was huge, but not so much that there were too many threads hanging. And the movie ended, and the only sequel setup at all in that movie is... well, that's their one shot of Darth Vader gets away. But they could have never made the sequels, and the movie would have been just as successful and just as good, because it is a self-contained story. Where here, it's almost like they were planning on a bigger franchise, but they weren't concerned with, what if this movie doesn't succeed? Keep it tight. In case we can't get our sequel, at least this movie will endure.
Well, to go back to a previous episode, I mean, there's no science fiction or fantasy movie that's come out in the last 10 years that doesn't immediately think, well, we have to plant the seeds for a franchise.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at The Mummy. I mean, that...
it's true.
Universal Dark Universe.
Yeah.
Like,
it's unfortunate.
So, it is.
It is.
So this is where, they leave the Temple of Doom... and they get to, like, an alley or something. That's when Will Smith is like, you were upright this whole time. You didn't say anything. I didn't know. I was like, yeah, you didn't know.
Yeah. And you speak English.
Right, yeah. She starts speaking English. She's like, oh, she speaks English, too.
There's, like, 1,000 reasons why he should have been asking her as soon as they saw a magic wand and that she's an elf to be like, hey, just heads, are you upright? Because that would be super helpful right now.
Because supposedly it is more common among elves. I think they did say that in the Fed's exposition scene.
Yeah. This is the reason all the other cops hate Will Smith. He's an idiot.
Terrible investigator. Yeah.
Oh, we got some evidence over here. This gun right here that I'm holding up right now that now has my fingerprints all over it.
Yeah.
This was down here, I'm pretty sure.
Wouldn't it make it if that was the storyline of, like, why different hate him? Always like, well, imagine Barney Fife if Barney Fife was actually really funny, witty, and good looking. That was the Will Smith character.
Yeah. Because he never really does ask her any questions or anything, so he really didn't have an opportunity to find out if she spoke English.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doesn't really try.
And they had plenty of time to, because all they were doing was just, like, running around.
Right.
Okay. And at this point... oh, and I'm sorry. This is a note. 1:28 into the... an hour and 28 minutes into the movie, Will Smith asks Tika, hey, who are these elves that are hunting us? An hour and 28 minutes in. That's insane.
Yeah.
That's insane that question is being asked an hour and a half into a two-hour movie.
Yeah.
Hey, who are these people trying to kill us?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, we did get an answer to that somewhat in the interview with the bearded sword guy.
Yeah, that was never anything else.
In an interview that our main characters were not privy to.
Yeah. That was never anything I really questioned. It was like, why they were... it's like, they didn't want the magic wand, they're doing evil stuff.
I guess that's true. Lord. It doesn't really matter.
He's kind of generic,
yeah. I mean... It's just kind of funny that at that point he's like, I feel like I should know this.
Yeah. That point he finds out.
At one point I was assuming that it was all some kind of like a really super uberly elaborate ploy to manipulate the prophecy in their favor, and that Tika, the little girl, was actually the vessel for the Dark Lord. And when they got her to that pool and the bad guy shows up, they hand her the wand, and then the two of them together in conjunction would resurrect
let's talk about that, because now they have Tika is somehow injured. Or
she was only in training to use magic, so she used a spell that was beyond her abilities to bring back Jacoby.
Okay.
So,
magic rot.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Okay. That's what I assumed anyway.
Okay.
I didn't catch that.
It's
at all.
One of the biggest. I kind of thought that's what it was, but like it's it's one of the biggest leaps this movie wants the audience to make because so essentially she's like, well, there is a pool that can help me, but it's back at that original shootout house.
Yeah. Which Will Smith is like, oh, we're not going there.
Yeah. I'm like, I hope they're not going there. That seems lazy. And then they're like, you know, and then Jacoby's like, yeah, we're going there. I'm like, okay. All right. And the crazy elf people are there who are like superheroes. I mean, who.
Honestly, I'm going to go the reverse of what you're saying. And I feel like in that battle, they're awful. Because when they fought the human gang, it was like, you know, one elf per 15 humans, and they're just massacring the humans.
Right.
And then suddenly, Ward and Jacoby are too much for her to handle.
Yeah, this is my problem with the scene of, like, why did they set up these elves to be, like, these unbelievable killing machines, but, like, middle-aged Will Smith is too much? Like, it didn't...
Well, there's something that I want to bring up, too, I forgot. Early on in the movie, they're driving their police cruiser through some, like... bad neighborhood, and they show an orc like lifting an SUV up just with two hands or whatever, just very easily. So I'm like, okay, so are they establishing that orcs are like super super strong? Because then that never comes back, because Jacoby gets his ass kicked
the highly important conversation that says that orcs don't play basketball, they play football because they're so strong.
They're linemen.
Neither of those come back.
Yeah.
And like his super strength never comes into play.
Yeah, like he never shows any super strength or anything in these fights. He's not like, you know, just totally destroying the elves because he's superhumanly strong. You know what I mean? That never... I don't know if they're just saying that one orc was just really strong or what that was. That was just like a gag. Well, but like, I thought that was going to be an established thing.
It turns into that bad, like, cliched thing of, like, that you've seen in fights... an Indiana Jones movie does incredibly well, but somehow no other movies do well, of, like, an undermatched opponent happening to be able to, like, block at an opponent's attack and then do a counterattack that's, like, devastating... Mm-hmm. But it's, like, so goofy where it's, like, no, nothing... Like, these elves should just, like, destroy Will Smith and Jacoby like, where they wouldn't even know they were there. Like, they'd be beheaded and being like, oh, that's it.
Because that's what they did to everyone else you've seen them fight so far.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but they weren't top-lining the movie, the other people.
That's true.
Yeah.
Don't overlook the power of top-line.
They were all just the Goombas from Mario Brothers.
Would have been more, like, slightly more interesting if they had made them, like, less, like, crazy ninja killing machines, like, earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, okay, like, no, they're strong, but they're not, like,
they're just fighting.
Right, like, let them be good fighters, but let them actually get hit once in a while.
Yeah. So they're shooting them, and I'm trying to figure out how this actually happened.
There's just a fight.
They go down.
Will Smith
ends
up getting the main one he's got her held down basically, and Jacoby's got a shotgun and he's shoots her and he thinks she's dead.
He shoots the wand out of her hand.
No, not yet, because I think Tika like stabs her with the wand or something.
Yeah.
And then Jacoby shoots her and she's like dead.
Oh, that's right.
So then they go downstairs to where the pool is.
To the magic pool.
To put Tika in the pool so she'll heal or whatever. And then back upstairs, this elf isn't actually dead. And now she has the wand.
And so she comes downstairs.
Yeah.
And...
she hangs Jacoby. She's just like, grabs something around.
Right. Okay. And
so he's hanging for a big portion of this.
Yep.
And she basically like throws Will Smith to the side and... she's got Tika. She takes Tika out of the pool, so she's dying still.
And there's a crazy conversation between Noomi Rapace and Tika that felt like it was just a scene from some other movie that we will never see or don't care about. But, like, it was dialogue that I'm like, why? Like,
Reason, it kept switching between, like, Elvish and English.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it's two elves talking to each other, but they keep talking in English, too, like, going back and forth.
Yeah.
And it's up to this point that main elf had never spoken English.
Right.
So it was weird that all of a sudden, that was weird.
Yeah, that seemed real crazy to me. Yeah. And it was kind of like, oh, we're now interested in this main elf's motivation. Like, again, an hour and 45 minutes into this movie, now we're interested in this her motivation. Yeah. Sure.
Instead of just having her be a killing machine that can't deal with Will Smith.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So then Jacoby gets down. He somehow shoots the elf, or shoots the wand out of Noomi Rapace's hand.
Right.
Yes.
And, but then he doesn't have any more bullets to shoot Noomi Rapace.
Right.
And Will Smith makes the decision that he's just going to grab the wand, because the theory is, even if he... Then maybe it will blow them all up.
Because earlier earlier in the movie, some gang member or something grabs the wand and it blows up.
Several people die.
Several people blew up.
Yeah, like all the people around him. So he's just going to be either way, we're just all going to die. So he grabs the wand. Yeah.
Right.
And of course.
And by the way, let's just also talk about how dumb this whole situation is. The one thing they don't want to have happen is to have this evil elf lady get the wand back in her hands, but by going back to this shootout house, that's exactly what they make happen. Yes. Like, so they, this is, I feel like this is a position
where they had to save Tika's life, and an ordinary doctor couldn't do it. She had to get to the pool.
Yeah,
they were hoping maybe that the bad guys were stupid.
What was the Emilio Estevez Anthony Hopkins movie? The
Free Jack.
This is like another Free Jack situation where they the heroes have like. Instead, in trying to escape from the villain, I've just ultimately been like, no, no, no. We will come to you. Let us solve your problems for you.
So Will Smith grabs the wand, and it's like glowing red now, and he realizes he's not going to blow up.
Big surprise.
Yeah.
Will Smith is a bright.
Yeah. A surprise only to someone who's never seen a movie before.
Yeah.
He's never read the title of this movie.
Yeah.
So he's got the wand, but he's like, okay, now what? He doesn't know what to do. And Tika yells, you have to say this word or whatever. So he says the word, and it blows her away. It blows character's name. Blows her away. So she's dead. She gets magic burned.
She gets magic burned.
Yeah. But then the whole, because there's a giant explosion. Like, they show the shot of outside, and a fireball comes out of this building.
One of a couple of really cool wide shots they do in this, of like, where it's like they did a giant fireball just like not far from downtown LA and captured it pretty well. Yeah.
I just don't know how they weren't blown away, because it's a massive fireball.
I don't know that either.
Yeah. So now the building's on fire and they have to get out. So they're running out of the building, and...
By the way, they're running out of the building, but they just leave the wand behind. With seemingly no thought of, like, this thing that seems to be incredibly powerful, and not to mention that Will Smith just learned he's a bright, which is, like, apparently one in a million, but nobody thinks, like, oh, we should grab that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, and Tika's, like, gone at this point. She's disappeared. So she was blown away too, apparently. So they run out of the building, and Jacoby comes out, and he turns around, and Will Smith's not there. So he's got to run back into the building and save him. And so he runs back in, grabs him, brings him out.
This is where super strength comes into play, carrying Will Smith.
I mean, I guess so.
Somehow all the gangbanger him, and now he becomes a blooded orc for doing something.
There's just a shot of them for some reason standing there watching this fire. And doing the stupid, they cut their hands and hold their hands up like, yeah, you're blooded now.
But those,
like,
they don't even say that. Because I thought, like, oh, so that's what it means to be blooded?
Yeah.
Like,
he
talks about how he's not a blooded orc the whole movie.
Right.
And he does explain that you can only get blooded when you do something brave.
Right.
But I still don't understand what being blooded is. Like,
I don't understand it either.
Yeah. It's gotta just be you proved yourself in the eyes of the collective,
and
I guess.
But he already did
in the eyes of this partner.
But why would that also be a good thing if you're like, hey, a bunch of mafia guys just gave you the big thumbs up? I'd be like, not cool. Like,
I thought it was goofy that they're standing there as he comes out of the building. Dun, dun, dun. I mean, instead of it being like
fire. Like, hold their fists up.
Instead of it being like in the next scene where they're having the ceremony because they're heroes, and then the orcs are there like, okay, you did this brave thing, you know.
Yeah.
They're like standing there watching the fire.
And Jacoby's kind of like, when they do that, he's kind of like, yeah. He like gives them a look, and I'm like, those guys just beat the heck out
of you. Those guys literally killed
you. Shot you point blank and threw you into a bottomless pit. Right.
He's okay now.
Yeah.
By God.
They approve of me now. Yeah. Like, this movie, that's how craving of approval works out.
Coming back from the dead wasn't good enough, but running into a fire, Will Smith was.
That's crazy. And then, so now we do get, the one scene in the movie I actually got a kick out of is the hospital scene.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the movie,
where... That was pretty, it was
there's something about the writing of this scene and the way that the actors performed it that I got a real kick out of.
See, I thought it would have been funnier if it was about 2 minutes shorter.
Probably true.
Yeah.
Probably true. Yeah.
It just went on a little bit too long. Be like, oh, dude.
Could have shaved it down.
Dude, you got it. Like, you're done now.
It is a little much. It's a little much. Down. Where, like, they're Will Smith is chained to his, or cuffed to his hospital bed, and the feds come in, and Will Smith says to Jacoby, don't say anything, but then Jacoby just literally, like, blurts out, everything. Like, everything.
Yeah. And then still doesn't get it when Will Smith is telling a different story.
Right. Yeah.
And Jacoby's like, no, this is what happened. Will Smith's like, no.
Yeah.
This is what happened.
Yeah.
He's probably like, oh, I see what's happening.
Yeah.
I see what's going on. Okay.
It definitely could have been trimmed, but yeah, it was, there was something, for the first time in this movie, I was like, okay, there's a little bit of chemistry and there's a little bit of like personality and character in this film. Yes. And it's essentially the next to last scene. I'm like, good time for that to come in. And then they say, so then there's like a weird award ceremony scene too.
Well, it's like, it's not an award. I think it's, cause they have pictures of the dead cops up there. I think it's just a memorial, and then they're kind of honoring, Will Smith and the orc as well, because they were the heroes. Because they,
and then, and
but they're thing. Honoring the four dead cops too, because they're pretending that the dead cops were heroes.
Right.
Yeah. And was I crazy, or did I see that Tika?
Tika walks through the crowd.
So she is alive. Am I crazy? It's a
very not subtle shot.
Yeah. It's so she's alive.
I guess that's what they're saying. Yeah.
Okay.
To leave it open for the sequel.
Yeah.
And then there's also, we haven't even talked about it, and I'll tell you why we haven't talked about it, because the movie doesn't care about it. Will Smith had a daughter, and that was kind of supposed to be some kind of subplot.
He literally sends him out of the movie at one point. He calls his wife and says, hey, take Sophia, where his daughter's name was, and leave town.
Right.
And where what? Like, she was at some skeezy club, too, when he called her.
Right.
Like, it was like some, like, what?
Yeah.
So
you think maybe they come back, like, oh, the orcs kidnapped them before they could leave town, or the elves did, and they use them again. But no, they literally leave the movie. And I never thought of her or talked about again.
Why? I mean, I wanted to say
the feds. Or like held hostage by the bad guy. I don't know.
That's right, yeah.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I thought the feds or the street gang were the most pointless characters, but I'm like, why even have Will Smith have a daughter?
Yeah.
Like, it didn't.
Or a wife.
Or a wife? Yeah, they're meaningless.
They're only in, like, they're only there to set up.
They only bookend the movie.
Yeah.
They never interact with anything other than the two bookends.
They just kind of use points here and there, like, oh, if you don't do this for us, you know, you won't be able to support your daughter or whatever. You know, they use that a couple times, but that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so strange to, I don't know. And again, maybe to Nick's ultimate point, maybe they were thinking, like, oh, we're going to need the daughter for a sequel, or I don't know. I mean, if he really viewed this as his Star Wars, maybe he was thinking eight movies out. Who knows?
I think the wife and the daughter go along with the house and the financial problems. So I started this movie with my husband. He fell asleep. And then the next day asked me, so did Will Smith sell his house? I'm like, I have no idea.
I don't know. Yeah. That'd be great if that was really the ultimate goal of the movie, was a real estate transaction. Yeah. So, all right, so let's do Is It So Bad It's Good? Because I feel like this movie kind of defies normal So Bad It's Good, like, descriptors. Mm-hmm. Who wants to start on this one?
Well, I mean, I would say that it's not that bad. I expect it to be bad because of all the reviews. Like, I don't know the disparity between the reviews and, I mean, it's the same thing. It's like the opposite of The Last Jedi, where the critic reviews are terrible, but then it's got like an 83% or something viewers, and Last Jedi is like 95% critics and then like 50 something percent viewer score. Which I agree with that one more than Last Jedi, but that's a different podcast. So if I hadn't thought that this would be a bad movie, I would have saw it, if I had seen it, just been like, oh, it's a decent movie. I mean, going into a movie expecting it to be bad is kind of tinges it sometimes for me, but I don't think it was. It was kind of muddled and a little bit of a mess, but it's a lot of movies these days.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of skill in this movie. Like, the actor's skill, the crew's skill. Yeah,
the effects are good. It's shot pretty well.
Yeah. It has all the trappings of a really good movie.
Yeah.
Just kind of built on this, like...
Well, I was thinking partway through it, like, I would have... They go crazy with, all the elf stuff and the magic and this and that, and... Like, halfway through the movie, I was like, if this was just a movie about this cop and his orc partner, just, you know, trying to get along or whatever, I would have liked that even.
Yeah.
You know, because then they go crazy to all this other stuff, the magic and the big this and that, and it becomes this big action movie. But it was just kind of a gritty movie about a cop in an orc. I don't know. It just, that would have worked maybe better for me too.
I don't disagree with that. That, yeah. That
probably, like, maybe a Training Day kind of thing, but with an orc.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, and Jackie, I mean, you...
I it has a lot of flaws that we've discussed, but I didn't hate it. I kind of liked it. Yeah. I think it... A lot of its problems could very easily be solved by simple things. Like I said before, like a line of dialogue here, a scene cut a different way there, maybe shorten it a little bit, a little more exposition, and this could have been... It would never have been a Star Wars-level quality film. But it would have been an enjoyable movie that would have been really cool. And at this point, it's just, I liked it. But yeah, it wasn't great. But I liked it. I thought it was good. It has problems. But for what it was, it succeeded. It just stumbled along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm with Cody that going into it, reading the reviews tainted it more than if I had just watched it on my own. I mean, I watched some bad Netflix Christmas movies. Yeah. So this is just a Netflix... I mean, Netflix has made some amazing things, but also, you know, some not great things. And I would have just watched it and been entertained for a little while and thought, yeah, probably would have forgotten about it after that.
Yeah. 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 Nick, what do you...
Yeah, I mean, it's better than most of the stuff I've watched for this podcast. I mean, I think the only thing I really got more entertainment value out of for the podcast was Knight Riders.
I thought, you know what? I thought about Knight Riders while I was watching this. Well, because they're both movies that commit to an insane idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like fully commit to it. Yeah. Like, although Knight Riders,
what's insane about motorcycle jousting?
Medieval motorcycle jousting. They both are so committed to it that, and I mean, I think Knight Riders is more genuine or like
more
earnest. Like,
has more heart. Has more heart.
And this is a little more like but they're both fully all in on it.
Yeah. I think very little tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah. I didn't actually see Knight Riders, but I read the article that prompted me to send it to you guys to say this needs to be a podcast movie.
Yeah.
But from what I can tell from that movie, I think they did a lot more work in Knight Riders to actually set up a society.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, yes.
The world
they
is
did world their building. World.
Yes, yeah. Their world is much better built.
Very
and
well
the,
done. Yeah.
And the characters are...
You like them.
That movie's crazy, but
the characters are actually likable. Well, it's not a bad movie.
It's more of a character movie too. It's,
yes. Yeah.
And the message is clear.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think maybe for Netflix, this is the weird thing of like they're trying to become a studio, and they kind of understand production and they understand the process, but like pre-production and some of that. That weird development process has to be a little clunky for them, because I think most of this movie's problems were in the development stages of where the script and developing a script. And then once they actually put it into production, I think things went pretty gangbusters, but they're...
Yeah, I mean, you have a Hollywood director, you know, a Hollywood writer, quote-unquote.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you have Will Smith. I mean, it's a movie. It's just
Netflix. It is a movie. Yeah.
It's basically you went right to Netflix instead of going to the theater. You know what I mean?
I love that
it's
that's
not
a
like
compliment.
A low-budget Netflix kind of, you know...
Yeah, it thing. Functions as a movie,
right.
Which is...
It could have been in the theater.
Which is something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it could actually be an interesting... concept for a Netflix TV show
When I first heard about it, I thought it was a series.
Yeah.
And then I realized it was just a movie, just one movie. But I thought it was going to be a series for whatever reason. I don't know why. But
yeah, if that Once Upon a Time show can be a series, like, yeah, a magical
realism.
All right,
that show is falling apart, but that has been one of my favorite shows in past seasons.
But I mean, like, if they can make that concept work,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like, this could have worked as
in
a series.
Because then maybe we would get more of the exposition and seeing the different societies.
It,
yeah.
They could have really fleshed it out a little bit of, like, what the impact of all these magical creatures in a society would mean and... Beyond the only impact we know is like, oh, there's one building that has a bottomless pit in it. That's it. Other than that, we don't really.
And another building with a magic pool.
It has a magic pool. Yeah, one pool, one pit. Yeah. So yeah, there it is. There's Bright. yeah, a movie I did not, I didn't hate as much as I thought I would, and yet was.
Oh, the past couple movies are movies we haven't hated. We have to get back to the really bad stuff.
I know. Yeah, don't worry. There's some stuff from this summer that I think should, you know, and Gerard Butler never lets us down. I think that brings this one to a close. We will be back soon with episode. We are going to end up, I know we've teased the double. We will do the double, although I don't think it's going to be our next episode. We've got to pull something fun for episode 150. So I think episode 151 hopefully will be the double.
Does that mean I'm going to have to watch it again?
I don't think.
Well, that's, I mean, if you remember.
Yeah, I don't think.
I think I've forgotten things already.
Don't do know. That to yourself. Yeah, I don't know if you want to do that to yourself. I mean, I'm 40 minutes in, and I don't think I'm going to want to. I'm going to live off my notes for some stuff. But yeah, we'll come up with something fun for 150 and a special surprise that I'm already developing for episode 150. Oh. It'll be a surprise even to the people at this table. So yeah, I think that's it. Brings this one to a close. We'll see you back here next time. Bye. Everyone good? All right. Bye.